The supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among thy troops are the victors, and place me in thy party, for thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among thy friends, for thy friends, no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless thou repelst him. By means of in the name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is his anger, and I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is his good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from thee, O patron of beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum, and this is today's special for you. Today we're going to speak about Islam. Islam, a message of peace. Rasulullah, Habiballah, Rasulullah,
to be the best and give his best religion to them.
Today, Monday, is the 16th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Book of Allah, Holy Quran. We look at chapter Yunus. We listen to verse 84. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقال موسى يا قوم إن كنتم آمنتم بالله فعليه توكلوا إن كنتم مسلمين.
And Moses said, O my people, if you have believed in Allah, then rely upon him if you should be Muslims.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Moses soothingly and affectionately said to his people that if they believe in Allah, they should staunchly stand by their words, have faith, and submit to him by putting all their hopes and trust in him. They ought not to be fearful of waves and the storms of afflictions, for faith cannot be separated from trust in Allah. The real meaning of trust is leaving one's tasks in his hands, I mean Allah's hands, and selecting Allah as only true help in the times of adversity.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati,
peace based on justice. Dear friend, man in his life comes into contact with countless persons, groups, and things. His relationship with some is amiable, with some others antagonistic. Whatever the case, he has to base all his contacts, all his dealings on justice, thus ensuring peace and happiness in society. But before that, he had to do justice to his own self, his own soul, and to all the powers and faculties which Allah has bestowed upon him, unless and until he maintains a balance between his desire and anger, he cannot do justice to others. We need to project Islam as a religion of light, peace, and justice for the betterment of society, not only for Muslims, but for the world.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding oppressing other people or committing oppression against other people, the Holy Quran is explicit in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wala ta'tadu. Never commit oppression. Inna Allah la yuhibbu al-mu'tadin. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never favors the oppressors. The Islamic religion has been for all mankind. Hence, no discrimination whatsoever is favored in the Islamic religion. The Holy Quran, as the intact word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is explicit in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhan nas, all people, all people. The Holy Quran addresses all people. All people. Inna khalaqnakum min dhikrin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. We have created you of being either man or woman, male or female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. And we have created you in terms of nations and tribes. لِتَعَارَفُوا. So that you would identify yourselves. Anybody belongs to which nation or which tribe. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best of you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most pious of you. Inna Allah alimun khabir. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledgeable and aware and informed. When some people who are not Muslims, and in the past they might have some intention to kindle the fire of war, but later on they came to understand, they came to the point to coexist with Muslims. Muslims have no right to oppress them, to impose any war or any battle against them. The Holy Quran is explicit. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَإِنْ اَعْتَزَلُوكُمْ فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا. When they have abandoned doing oppression against you, and they come and they've come to live peacefully with you in peaceful terms, فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا, then you have no right to oppress them.
ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء. أنت في الوجدان حي, أنت للعينين ضي, أنت عند الحوض ري, أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا محمد.
Be with amazing tips to become a better Muslim. Today, maintain your identity. Being a Muslim is a huge part of your identity now. That doesn't mean you cannot barbecue with your friends or watch football on Sundays. If there are things in your culture that do not directly contradict with basic Islamic creed, then you are welcome to keep those things in your life. You do not need to start wearing Arab or Indian clothing. As long as your clothes cover what they are supposed to cover, you are in the clear. Many converts are also exposed to really weird food that is overly spicy or funny tasting. This might lead us to think that eating curry is sunnah or something righteous. We can still have our own culture and taste in food. Pot roast and beans are still halal. There are many other examples of things that you will be exposed to that are from foreign cultures and do not necessarily have anything to do with Islam. Our goal as Muslims is to worship Allah, not to add a Persian or Arab identity to our personality.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely, you came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you. You are my one true love, taught me to never judge. Now all I want is to be with you.
From the lists of things you need to know to understand Islam, today we have: women were the first to have rights under Islam. While some people believe that Muslim women are oppressed under Islam, this is completely untrue. While the cultures of many places that happen to follow Islam may oppress women, this is a misogynistic problem that a large part of the world faces regardless of religion. Some of the first rules Islam set out was to stop the killing of baby girls. If families wanted boys instead, giving women economic freedom, giving women the right to own property, allowing women to inherit money and remarry whenever they wanted, and reminding men always to show the utmost respect towards women. Islam empowers so many women, and this is one of the main reasons why the majority of people who convert to Islam are in fact women.
This word jihad, they scare people with this word jihad. What does jihad mean? Does anyone even know what jihad means? Jihad means a struggle. It's a very general word. It means a struggle. Struggle going to school, struggle with the family, struggle raising children, struggle holding and not eating food in the month of Ramadan, holding yourself. This is also a struggle. And one of the meanings of jihad is a meaning of defending the religion of Islam, which is used in the context of war, which is used in self-defense. And if we analyze all of these verses in the Quran, we will see that jihad has conditions. Jihad has requirements. Do we see scholars, our maraja, announcing jihad every day? No, because jihad has conditions. It has specific requirements that you will never find today. A main requirement, a main condition, is that jihad has to be only in self-defense. And Allah says in the Quran, Allah says chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 190. Allah says in the Quran, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. Fight in the way of Allah, the ones who are fighting you. Allah does not say fight in the way of Allah. Go and find a random person and go and fight this person. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. And do not oppress. Do not go and fight anyone who's not fighting you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Allah does not like the ones who oppress.
Mustafa, Mustafa.
We continue this interesting topic, inshallah, in another episode of today's special. So be with us tomorrow. Fi amanillah.
Lost and hearts frozen from you, Allah, came a prophet chosen. Blessed prophets, Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us things we are to do.
food for thought.
Hello everyone, and on the eve of the blessed birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, here is an interesting statement from him on the position of parents in Islam. One who follows the orders of Allah with regards to obeying parents shall have two doors of paradise opened up for him.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, my congratulations to all the Muslims on this being the week of unity. That hopefully, inshallah, by the right of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this week unites our hearts, unites our souls, unites our fitrah, as we mentioned previously, unites us on the fitrah towards the Holy Prophet and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Islam, for the sake of the protection of Islam and the Muslims throughout the world. one of the peaks and the pinnacles of unity, as in this tradition we will see from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam. We as Muslims believe in the Ahlul Bayt, whether we are Sunni or whether we are Shia. We are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran to love them. And I know from my dear Sunni brothers and sisters that they dearly love the Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though they might not know exactly who the Ahlul Bayt are. But when it comes, for example, Imam Hassan to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to Bibi Zahra salamullah alayha, to Imam Ali alayhi salam, there is a deep love for them. And they are the cause of unity. They are the peak of unity. They are that central issue by which unity is actually formed. Yes, we may not accept some Sunni, we may not accept them as political leaders, but without a doubt, for example, if we had to go into the Sufi orders who claim to be Sunni, we will see that their chains or their salsala all go towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. The spiritual unity that we can find in the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is unmatched. It cannot be found anywhere else. That's what it is, the core. It is that unity that will take us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet mentions this tradition and he says that you, my Ahlul Bayt, are the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That by the grace of you, blessings are perfected. That by you, Ahlul Bayt, you know, blessings are perfected and completed. And those that are dispersed, deviations, disparity, by means of you are removed. When people come towards you, all this is forgotten and removed. And the unity of the word, that is the word of Tawheed, the unity of Tawheed and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found because of you. It comes about because of you. So we see here the Holy Prophet saying that we as Muslims go towards the Ahlul Bayt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Holy Quran that we need to go towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite our hearts for the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, and that in serving them, inshaAllah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran, by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Dear audience, stay tuned. John Davenport has said in his book, An Apology for Muhammad and the Quran, the following. The Quran, consequently, differs materially from the Bible, which, according to Combe, contains no system of theology, but is composed chiefly by narratives, descriptions, sublime effusions of devotional emotions, and much sound morality, bound together by no striking logical connections. Nor it is, like the Gospels, to be considered merely as the standard by which the religious opinions, the worship, and the practice of its followers are regulated. But it is also a political system. For on this foundation, the throne itself is erected. Hence every law of the state is derived. And by this authority, every question of life and property is finally decided. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 73 and 74 of Surah Az-Zumar, recited by Mahmoud Hossein Mansour.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wasiqa alladhina اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين
صدق الله
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to verses 73 to 74 of Surah Az-Zumar by Sheikh Mahmoud Hussein Mansour.
We want to analyze this recitation now and talk about the rules of tajweed that exist in these verses. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Verse 73. Wasiqal ladhina taqaw rabbahum ila al-jannati zumara. Wasiqa, the qaf in wasiqa has tafkhim. We have to pronounce it with a full mouth and with the mouth opening vertically. Wasiqa. Wasiqa alladhina taqaw. Again, taqaw. Ittaqaw. Taqaf has tafkhim, thickness. Rabbahum ilal jannati zumara. Rabbahum, the ra of Rabbahum has tafkhim because ra has fatha in this word. Ilal jannati zumara. Again, zumara. Ra has tafkhim. Hatta idha ja'uha. Another phrase, hatta idha, we have maddul munfasil. We have a disjunct mad because the long vowel and the hamza are in two different words. But in the word ja'uha, we have maddul muttasil because they're in the same word. The mad, the long vowel, and the hamza are in the same word. So we have maddul muttasil. For maddul munfasil, you should lengthen the mad to two, four, or five vowel counts. But for maddul muttasil, you have to lengthen it to four or five vowel counts. وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ. Again, قَالَ لَهُمْ. The mouth opens vertically because قَاف is a letter of إِسْتِعْلَى which necessitates تَفْخِيم. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. خَزَنَتُهَا. Again, خَا is a letter of إِسْتِعْلَى. خَزَنَتُهَا. And all the other letters in this word are letters of استفال, so you have to pronounce them with ترقيق. خزانتها. We don't say خزانتها. Okay. We don't give تفخيم to letters of استفال unless the letter is ra, which requires تفخيم in certain condition, under certain conditions. For example, if ra is مفخم or مفتوح, you have to pronounce it with تفخيم. سلام عليكم طبتم. طبتم. The ta has tafkhim here, but it has the lowest level of tafkhim. طبتم. We don't say طبتم. طبتم. We don't exaggerate the tafkhim. We have to make it really low. The root of the tongue is not raised as much because the kasra causes it to be raised less. فدخلوها خالدين. فدخلوها. We have قلقلة. And خالدين, again we have تفخيم of خا. وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا. صدقنا. In these two verses we had a lot of instances of letters of استعلاء. وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض. أرض. ضاد. Again the letter of استعلاء. نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. Again, all the letters of istifal are after أرض. نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. We have no letter of istala in this line of this verse. So they have to be pronounced with ترقيق, every letter. And also in the word nasha, we have maddul muttasil. That's it for today's program. Inshallah, in the next episodes of Let's Recite the Quran, we will listen to other great recitations by famous reciters from all over the world. Inshallah. Kitabullah.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the final segment of the program called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran. We invite you to listen to Brother Yasser Ibrahim He's going to tell us stories of those whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, another one of the great verses of the Holy Quran, especially that we as followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam should know a lot about, is the verse in Surah Ma'idah, the third verse of the surah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the perfection of the religion and the completion of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Ghadir. The verse that Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum, a very famous verse that most of us have heard many times from the members. We have read about it many times. We've been told about this many times in our madaris and our schools and our teachings. But there are two very beautiful stories regarding this verse, or that have been written in the books by our scholars. Inshallah, in this episode, we'll mention one of them, but they are very similar. The first one is written in a book known as Tara'if. Now, Tara'if basically are short maxims or stories that have a witty or sometimes have a humorous thing to them, or sometimes they have a very strong point to them. You know, it's something that, you know, should affect you. It has a lesson to it, like an anecdote. So this book, Tara'if, was written by Sayyidina Tawus. Or rather, he collected it, because obviously he took stories from different places and he put it in a book. Now, Sayyidina Tawus, as most of us know, is one of the great scholars, one of the great Urafa and mystics of the Shia tradition. So in this book of his, he mentions one story. And he says that this story is even narrated in the books of our Sunni brothers and sisters, even in their siha. The siha are those books that our Sunni brothers and sisters believe to be authentic. There are six. And one of those books is known as Sahih Muslim. And he mentions that in this book, Sahih Muslim, this story or this narration is there, that a group of Jews, and the story is narrated by a person known as Tawus ibn Shihab, who narrates that a group of Jews once said to the second Khalif that if this verse that Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum, that today I have perfected for you your religion, was revealed upon us, the Jews, and we knew the day that it was revealed and everything that surrounded that particular day, we knew all of this, as of course the Muslims knew all of it. Every single sect from amongst the Jews would keep that day as a celebration, and we would celebrate it. So this is the day in which our religion was perfected. This is the day where no one else and no other religion can overcome us, can be higher than us, and so on and so forth. So this is one of the stories that is narrated regarding this verse in the book Tara'if by Sayyidina Tawus. Inshallah, until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Congratulations on the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Week of Unity. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Dr. Muhammad Khalid, who's a Sunni scholar and talks about the unity of Islamic Ummah.
Dear respected scholars, shuyukh, ulama-i kiram, intellectuals, community leaders, my brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've been commanded to focus on the challenges of sectarianism in the light of the unity of Ummah, which is quite important and need of the hour. My brothers and sisters, the word unity is not much popular among the Muslims. Unity, ittihad of Muslims. Because of the long experience of the division within Muslim community, this is out of the common perception that these Muslims can never be united. They are fighting and fighting and there is no unity. I think in the wake of this common perception, this conference is a vital paving the way for the proper unity and providing the practical steps in this connection. At the beginning, there is an Arabic phrase, "Taraful ashya'u bi azdadiha." Things are values by their opposites. It means we cannot understand the real value of light and nur unless we have the experience of the darkness, pitch dark. Similarly, we cannot understand the value of good health unless we have the bitter experience of serious illness through the opposites. And in the same way, we cannot understand the value of unity, of ittihad, without the proper perception of the other side, its opposite, which is the division and rift. Now we have to understand the horrible consequences of division and the rift. We cannot understand the value of unity. My brothers and sisters, in this connection, I have to focus on the horrendous consequences of division we've been suffering from a long time, Muslim Ummah. And very important, and the very first, that's the decline and the zawal of Muslim Ummah. This decline and zawal for ages, this is mainly due to the division, long-standing division within the Muslim community and to their subjugation to the alien powers. We have ignored the warning of the Holy Quran. God Almighty Jalla Jalaluhu says here, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Obey Allah and His Messenger truly, and do not dispute among yourselves. Otherwise, you would become weaker, and your dignity, your strength would be vanished, leaving you. And have patience. Surely Allah Ta'ala is those who are patient. So there is a unity, and we have been commanded not to be disunited. If we are disunited, immediately we lose our powers. Because disunity and division leading practically and naturally towards decline. And that's the natural result of division and disunity. then another horrible and fatal result of this division is the emergence of sectarianism. Disputes on the basis of sectarians, you know, regarding each others as heretic, spreading hatreds, and thousands and the thousands of people, including women and children, have been killed brutally because of this sectarian hatred. And you can understand the reality and from the history. And Allah Ta'ala says here, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Verily, as for those who differed and disputed in terms of their religion and became scattered in the form of the different groups, O Prophet, لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, you have nothing to do with them. You have no relationship. Because they turn away from the right path. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Their affair is with the Lord Almighty. And He will let them know on the day of judgment about what they did dispute and differed. This is so heinous, so fatal and destructive, this sectarianism. For the unity of Muslim Ummah, then one of the horrible consequences of this disunity and division is the common frustration and confusion among Muslim masses. Because the Muslim masses, Muslim people and public, this is their demand and the need. They should receive the proper message from the Quran, and they want to see the Muslim ulama and all religious organizations as united in front of them. But on the contrary, when they watch them, experience them fighting hatred, they have been confused and they lost their religious spirit and became the servants of their own worldly ambitions and the pleasures. They lost the religious spirit. This is a great loss because of the division and disunity. And there is another, you know, fateful consequence of this division is the success of the plots of the alien powers as well. Awaiting and trying to exploit this division for their own vested interest. And we don't know, we are ghafil, we are unaware. So my brothers and sisters, coming to another point, another phase, we need to take some important steps in terms of the redress and rectify the situation. How to overcome this division and how to bring about a unity. And you can understand the fawaid and the advantage of unity of Ummah through the consequences and destructive consequences of division and disunity. When you have been saved from the unity, obviously you have the benefits and the advantages of disunity, and the advantages of unity, obviously they are in front of you and you have obtained in reality. Regarding the steps and the measures we need to take, mashallah, there are Sunnis and Shia from the both sides, ulama-e-kiram and the community leaders, they are here. Alhamdulillah, the first step, what I can suggest is we have to propagate about the practical unity instead of the ideal unity. This is one of the hindrances in the way of the unity of the Muslim Ummah, that always we talking about the ideal unity. Ideal unity means all Sunnis and Shias, they have to eliminate their all differences and their identities and become united. This is not possible, my brothers, sisters, ulama-e-kiram, in this universe, in this life, that's in paradise. Ideal unity is not possible here, and Quran is not calling us, inviting us for this one. We have to talk and propagate about the practical unity, pragmatism. Practical unity is What? We have to retain our differences and ikhtilafat within our own boundaries, and we have to establish the unity on the foundation of ikhtilafat by retaining your ikhtilafat. This unity is possible. This is a practical unity. Second step I may suggest is here. We have to, again, we have to disseminate the consequences of the division. When we're talking about the fawaid in front of the people, fawaid of the unity, this is not much popular and effective, as I said earlier at the beginning. When you're talking about the consequences and the nataij, dreadful nataij, they may be convinced. And it should be disseminated by literature and telling the people. Another big hindrance and difficulty and challenge for us is the biased ulama, hardliners, and the biased literature, which is creating problem everywhere. This is a big challenge for us. How to deal with it? They are everywhere. In Sunnis, we know. In Shias, my brother ulama, you know as well. On the both sides, how to deal with them effectively, how to stop them, I think this is a great challenge. And the final one I must say before I have to conclude my talk is we must have and organize the Shia Sunni dialogues.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.